Well, that's the sacrifice of devotion in the Gospels. Now turn to Acts chapter 1. Let's see what happened in the early church. I mean, Jesus preached his heart out, and let's see what they caught, okay? Acts chapter 1. Real quickly, I'm just going to zip through these. Note the progression in the book of Acts, because what I like about the book of Acts is it's the application of Jesus' sermons. I mean, Jesus taught for 3.5 years. He had 12 men following him everywhere he went. One of them aborted at the end, you know, Judas, and they kept following Jesus, and they show us in the book of Acts what they caught from what he said. Acts chapter 1, verse 4. The first thing we see is that these early Christians sacrificed their time. It says, in being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them, don't depart from Jerusalem. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. Well, that's a little open-ended, isn't it? He says, stay here and wait. You ever had someone tell you that? I remember one time my mom left me somewhere. Remember how fellow kids all over the place to school events? I remember she told me, you stay at Wilshire. That was a school, elementary or secondary. I don't know what it was. I was a little shaver. And she says, don't go on the bus. You wait for me. I'm going to pick you up at school. So I went out and told the bus person, nope, I'm not getting on the bus. My mom told me to wait here. They said, are you sure, Johnny? I said, I'm sure. So I'd never been bad up to that point, so they thought maybe I was telling the truth. So the bus, I remember seeing big cloud of smoke. They all left. Pretty soon the teacher started leaving, and little Johnny Barnett was pacing in front of the school. Pretty soon the principal left. He says, Johnny, are you sure you're supposed to be? Oh, yes, my mom said she'd pick me up. The sun was setting. I thought the Lord came back. You know, I was brought up in the church, and I thought for sure the rapture had occurred. My mom, here comes the little gray Falcon station wagon. And I was crying. Boy, I was never happier to see that old car in my life. But I still remember the sun was going down in the trees, and when that car came. And I remember my mom said, the car didn't start. I knew you'd be here. And I still remember I was standing there crying. But I waited. You know what? Jesus said, wait. Don't leave Jerusalem. And it was 10 days, we know, from chronology. And they had to hang around for 10 days. And they sacrificed their time. They didn't go to work. They didn't go off to schedule vacations. They didn't go to family events. They waited on the Lord. And you know, that's a missing element nowadays. Few people know how to wait on God for his blessing. But look at the next one in chapter 2, verse 7. Not only did they sacrifice their time, in 2:7, they sacrificed their normal conversations. I like to put it this way. They gave their mouth to Jesus. You know, a lot of people want to give themselves to Jesus. They just never give their mouth to him. Well, you wouldn't know from their conversation that they even belonged to him. But these gave their mouth to Jesus. And they were all amazed and marveled and said to one another, look, aren't these who speak Galileans? What were they doing? They were speaking for Christ. They gave their mouth to Jesus. They sacrificed their normal conversations to speak for him. Look at verse 45, chapter 2. They sacrificed their possessions. They sold their possessions in good and divided among them as anyone that had need. They gave up stuff that they had, stuff that was important to them. It had to be good because they could sell it, and so it was good stuff. And they sold it for Jesus. They sacrificed their possessions. Look at 4:32. Chapter 4, verse 32, they also sacrificed their right of personal ownership. It says in 4:32, now the multitude of those who believed were of one heart and one soul, and they didn't have anyone that said that anything that they owned was theirs. They had everything in common. What does that mean? A commune? No. What it means is, all I have, all I am, all I'll ever be, absolutely, positively, now and forever, I give all, what? To thee. See, they had settled the personal ownership deal. And they said, we give everything to you. And how do you want to use it, God? It's all yours. My time, my mouth, my money, it's yours. How do you want to use it? See, it's a lot of fun. When I was a salesman back in the 80s, going to seminary, I used to work for a mega. Remember how money flew in the 80s? It flew out of here in the 80s, I think, in the bus. But I remember the corporations, they couldn't spend enough on stuff. And in the 80s, as a college kid working for a company, I had an $800 a week expense account for hotels and meals. Boy, it was fun. I mean, I went to different Japanese hibachi place every night. Do you remember those days? Didn't matter. As long as the sales were up, you could spend anything. I would try and stay in the highest buildings. I love staying in those high-rise hotels. That's before the hotel fires, you know. And I used to love to eat in the place and stay up there. And boy, for a college kid, it was fun. You know what? It was easy to spend the money because it wasn't mine. Most of us have trouble investing in God because we consider it ours. It's easy to spend it when it belongs to someone else. And God says, these people, he says, they gave up their personal right of ownership. Now, how'd they do that? Last verse, look at 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. And this, not as we expected, but first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. How did that first century church, how did they do that? How did they get people to talk about Jesus? How did they get people to wait around for Jesus? How did they get people to sell their stuff for him? How did they get people to give up their ownership and say that no longer are all these things mine, but yours? Well, right here is the secret in verse 5. They first gave themselves to the Lord. What drives God's servants to make such sacrifices? Devotion to Christ and devotion sacrifices. I wonder, have you ever done that? Have you ever given yourself to Jesus first? I know we've been singing it all month, and we sang it months ago. But have you ever done that? Have you ever said, Lord, my life, my possessions, my family, my children's future, my future, I give all to you. One person who said that they gave all to Christ meant it, and his name was David Livingston. He was a pioneering missionary to Africa. He wrote his prayer before he left. I'll read to you his prayer. It's beautiful. Someone made this a song. It's hard not to sing it as I read the words. O Lord, since thou hast died, Livingston said, to give thyself for me, no sacrifice would seem too great for me to make for thee. I only have one life, and that will soon be passed. I want my life to count for Christ. What's done for him will last. I follow thee, my Lord, and glory in thy cross. I gladly leave the world behind and count all gain as loss. Lord, send me anywhere. Only go with me. Lay any burden on me. Only sustain me. Sever any tie save the tie that binds me to thy heart. Lord Jesus, my King, I consecrate my life, Lord, to thee. What that mean for him? It meant he lived in a tent on a cot in the rainforest of Africa, ministering to souls the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when he got so feverish and so sick, and he finally died on his cot in the rainforest of Central Africa, he asked them before he died to cut his heart out and carry it by porter to have it buried at Westminster Abbey, because his heart was in his homeland that sent him with the gospel. But he said, I want my body buried with my people.